Now to the King immortal, eternal, invisible to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of God for meditation this morning is taken from our gospel lesson, John 6, verse 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Thus far, God's holy word. In the name of Jesus, who came down from heaven in order to give life to the world through his own blood, dear fellow redeemed. In his best-selling book called Into Thin Air, John Krakauer relates the hazards that plagued some climbers as they attempted to reach the summit of Mount Everest. Andy Harris, one of the expedition leaders, stayed at the peak too long and on his descent became in dire need of oxygen. Harris radioed the base camp and told them about his predicament. He mentioned that he had come across a cache of oxygen canisters, but that they were empty. The climbers who had already passed the canisters on their own descent knew that they were not empty. They were full. They pleaded with him on the radio to make use of them, but it was to no avail. Harris was starved for oxygen, but he continued to argue that the canisters were empty. The problem was that the lack of what he needed had disorientated his mind that though he was surrounded by something that would give him life, he continued to complain about its absence. Someone suggested that the very thing that he held in his hand was absent in his brain. The lack of oxygen had ravaged his capacity to recognize what was right in front of him. What oxygen is to the body, the bread of life, is to the soul. Many of us are suffocating and starving, and we don't even know it. We think we have Jesus figured out, but we might be a long ways off. Jesus is offering life to us while we run around trying to appease our appetites. What we need is I Am. The I Am who offers you the bread of life. We need to go back a few verses in John to understand why Jesus is in this conversation to begin with. I'm sure you know what happens at the beginning of John chapter 6. Jesus feeds a multitude of 5,000 with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Though it was one of Jesus' more impressive miracles, it ended up being twisted by the very people he had helped. Jesus could see into their hearts, and he knew that they didn't desire him because he was the Son of God, the promised Messiah. No, they wanted him because he performed a great miracle, and he could bring an end to their earthly suffering. Jesus had sent his disciples across the Sea of Galilee and met them on the other side. But when the crowd followed him, what followed immediately precedes our text this morning. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do, that we may see and believe in you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Did you catch it at the very end there? Souls deprived of oxygen sought after what they thought they needed rather than seeking what they really needed standing right in front of them. They wanted a sign as proof that Jesus was sent from God rather than taking Jesus at his word. And this need for a sign stems all the way back to the days of Moses. It was one of the ways that God's people could identify whether a prophet was really from the true God or whether he was a false prophet. It would be by the signs and the prophecies that he did. Moses could turn his staff into a snake, make his hand leprous, and then cleanse it, turn water into blood. Now you might be thinking, didn't they just witness a feeding of the 5,000? What more could they want? And yes, you're right. They did just witness that sign from God. The problem lies in the fact that their hearts were closed to the gospel. They were blinded by their desire for the supernatural that they could not see that the bread of life was in their presence. So what does Jesus do? He patiently instructs them to see beyond what they want in order that they might find what they need. The Jews mentioned the manna that their fathers ate in the wilderness. If you remember, it's that dew-like substance that tastes like wafers mixed with honey. This manna was a gift from God. The children of Israel wandered for 40 years in the desert, and it's called a desert for a reason. You might be able to find food enough for a couple of people, but for over 2 million, you have a better chance at winning the lottery twice. But God, in his abundant mercy, sent manna down from heaven to be a source of life-sustaining food for his people. It wasn't glamorous. It wasn't a huge miracle. But it didn't need to be. It was enough for what the people needed for life during their journey. But the point that Jesus hooks on to is not that their fathers ate manna, but it's where it came from God. It wasn't a sign given to Moses to prove that he was a prophet from God. It was a means of physical salvation for his people. And as a manna was sent from heaven to earth in order to give life to the children of Israel, so also the bread of life, the Son of Man, was sent from heaven to earth in order to give spiritual life to the world. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Jesus is offering the people something far greater than earthly food. Every day the children of Israel had to go and collect manna because every day they were hungry. They always needed more. But the bread of life is different. It is filling and complete. You don't need to seek after anything else or anything more. All you need for earthly eternal life and salvation is found in Jesus Christ, your bread of life. The problem is, we can often fall into the same state of mind as the people Jesus is addressing, can't we? Have you ever lost focus on what Jesus is for you? Seeking something more, something else to satisfy a need or desire that you presume is there. It's hardwired right into your nature. By nature, we are like Andy Harris, who thought the oxygen canisters were empty when they were really full. He was convinced that his solution, his salvation, rested somewhere else. Just think about how many different religions there are in the world. Possibly over 10,000. And yet there is only one that has salvation as a work of God for man and not the other way around. Every other religion is based on what you do to earn your spot in glory, nirvana, or whatever else it might be. Mathematically, Christianity just seems too simple. Doesn't there have to be more? I have to do something to earn what God has given me. I can't just waltz into heaven. Can I? These and other temptations are from Satan and from our sinful flesh, taking our eyes and our faith off of the bread of life and onto ourselves. Satan doesn't just come after us trying to convince us that you are not worthy of God's grace. He does that often enough. But he also attacks you with the thought that Jesus didn't finish a job. The rest is up to you. It is a blasphemous attack, but one that all too well appeals to our pride, leading us down the mountain away from the life-giving bread of our Savior. But instead of giving a seat to the lies of our flesh, let us root ourselves in the words of our Savior. Jesus' words assures us that his life on this earth was fulfilled to God's satisfaction. It was Jesus of whom God spoke, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Jesus' words assure us that his death on the cross was payment in full for the sins of the whole world, yours and mine included. It was Jesus who cried out, "It is finished," so that all may know his redeeming work of all nations was fulfilled, complete, done. Jesus' words assure us that his resurrection from the dead is our guarantee that there is nothing more for us to do, that he did it all. Paul writes about Jesus that he was delivered up to death for our sins, but he was raised from the dead for our justification. When Jesus says, "I am the bread of life, whoever believes in me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst," he means that in him, your salvation is complete. There is nothing more you need to find, do, or say, but purely by the undeserved love and mercy of our God, you have a seat in eternal glory because of his Son. When Jesus says, "I am the bread of life, whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst," he means that he is sufficient for your life as a Christian. How many times have you had a really good meal and you said, "I never want to have that ever again"? I think it's safe to say that has never happened, nor will it. When we find something we like, we absolutely want to have it again and again and again. And the same thing is true when it comes to the bread of life, to the message that your sins are forgiven before God. And Jesus offers us this forgiveness of sins in multiple ways. It comes to us through the waters of holy baptism. In baptism, God washed you clean of your sins, and He placed a seal on your heart and soul so that you are His and He is yours forever. For many of you, it happened at the beginning of your lives. But for those of you who are baptized later in life, it was a mark of a new life in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Jesus also brings us this forgiveness of sin through the sacrament of the altar. In this precious meal, we are united with the Savior and each other through His very body and blood that we receive in, with, and under the bread and wine. It is a mystery to us how this can be. And yet faith takes the words of Jesus to heart. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for the forgiveness of your sins. And finally, Jesus brings us the forgiveness of our sins through His Word. The Word of God that is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. The Word of God that tells us about creation, judgment, promise, fulfillment, salvation, eternal life, and so much more. From Genesis to Revelation, the Word of God has its focus on one thing, rather one person, Jesus Christ, the bread of life. By each of these means, God offers us the bread of life to consume for life-saving and life-preserving food for our souls. When we consume God's means of grace, we will not hunger or thirst for anything more, because we will see with the eyes of faith that there is nothing else that can satisfy our hearts. The Word of Truth, specifically the Gospel of Jesus Christ, is the oxygen that we need for our souls. Without it, we wander aimlessly, seeking after things that can never satisfy us, let alone the perfection that God expects of us. But when we consume the bread of life, the truth of Jesus as a Savior from our sin, God preserves our spiritual lives, and He will never let you go hungry. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.